Hello, my name is Daniel Moth. This screencast recording is one part of a four-part screencast series that accompanies the MSDN Magazine article that I wrote introducing C++ AMP. I hope you like it. So here I'm running Visual Studio 11. I'm running the beta version, and I've created a project with a single source file and with three methods, as you can see. So how did I get here? I just went and did the file new project. I selected C++ and an empty project. Then I hit OK, and then I went to the project and added a new item, at which point I picked the C++ file, source one, and then that was completely empty, and I went in and typed some code. So it's as simple as that. So what I want to do is focus on the code, so let's go and get rid of Solution Explorer there and Shift-Alt-Enter so we are full screen. So in main, as you can see, nothing interesting happening. I just called do it. And then if we look at do it, what we're doing here is we have three containers. So I have a VA, VB, and VC. And VA and VB are the ones I'm going to populate, and VC is where I'm going to store the results of a calculation between VA and VB. And that calculation is what we do with this other method that accepts the three vectors, the two input and the output. And I'm also passing in two size parameters, which you can see I've initialized here. So why two sizes? Because really, even though I'm using vectors to store this, I'm using the STL type, actually I need a matrix object, and I don't have one, so I'm just falling back to using a vector, which is an easy way to pass around these containers while still preserving a dynamic size. So if I had a matrix object, of course I'd be using that. So the data that I generate for the VA VB, I generate by calling this generate method, which comes from the algorithm. And as you can see, it takes two parameters, the two iterators begin end, and then it expects as a third parameter a functor or a function object. And for that, I'm using here lambdas, C++ lambdas. So here's the lambda where it takes no parameters, and then the actual body of it is just this piece of code I wrote. So this piece of code is going to be called by the generate method itself internally, and that's the way that it's going to initialize each one of its items. And the way that I've designed that here is I'm using a local variable I that I have to capture by reference, and then when I increment that, so each element in vector A will start from 0 and go all the way up to 1024 times 1024. And the reason I'm capturing it by reference, because I want to this variable to be updated, so then when I go and populate VB, I'm just going to go the other way. I'm going to just go down from that large number down to 0. So if you're not familiar with lambdas, I really recommend that you stop this video right now and go and learn about C++ lambdas, because it's a key feature that I'm going to rely that you really know about. So I'm not going to say anything more about it. Okay, so what do we do in this perform calculation? Well, if we just have a look in there, we'll see that basically it's an addition. So I'm taking each element of VA and adding it with VB and storing VC. However, because I want to treat this, really as a matrix object rather than a vector object, so even though it's stored flatly, I want to be accessing the data as if I was accessing rows and columns. That is why I wrote this in this way. So here I'm going up to the row, so this is a row-wise iteration, and then for each row I'm going to go and iterate its columns. And then over here what I'm doing is I'm calculating where does the next row start. So that's the row. So the first time it's going to be 0, so you just access the row 0 and column 0 and then column 1 and column 2 and so on, and you add those. Then you want to go to the second row, so it will come back in, so I will be 1 at that point, but 1 times the column, the number of columns, that will take you to the next row, which is flatly stored in these vectors. So that's as much as an explanation as I'm going to give about this funny arithmetic here. But really, if you don't understand it, pause the video and just look at this code and use pen and paper to make sure you understand why I'm using this this kind of indexing to overcome the fact that I'm storing in a flat manner a two-dimensional data. Okay, so with that said, let's see this in action, make sure that it does exactly what we all understand that it does. So I've put a breakpoint down there on perform calculation. So we hit that breakpoint before that call is being made. And as you would expect, in VA, we go from 0, 1, 2, all the way to that number up there. Exactly the same situation for VB. So that goes all the way down. So you're 6, 5, 4, 3, and so on, all the way down to 0. And then in VC, these are all zeros because we haven't performed the calculation yet. And remember, we never initialized that guy. So now if I go and step over using F10, Now we've performed the calculation, so when we go and look at VC, as you expect, we have exactly the same value everywhere, and that's the result you would expect. If we go and continue, it goes and reaches the end of main where it asks to hit any key to exit, and that's exactly what we do. Okay, so we're no longer going to focus on main. We're no longer going to be running this project and do it is what it is. We're no longer going to be focusing on that. What we want to focus on is this calculation here. So what we're going to do is we're going to take this calculation, which is a data parallel algorithm. So in other words, the actual operation takes place, it's the same operation and takes place over multiple data items. So it's a data parallel algorithm, and we'll see if we can actually take this and execute it on an accelerator such as the GPU instead of in the serial single-threaded manner it's been executed right now on the CPU. So that's going to be our next task, and we're going to do that in multiple steps, you know, a little step at a time, introducing more and more of the C++ AMP library. Thank you very much for watching. Please ensure that you have watched all four parts in the screencast series to get the full benefit. If you have questions, feel free to contact me so I can point you to our MSDN forum named Parallel Computing in C++ and Native Code. Thanks.